All right, well, here we are in our last of the series of the character of God. Over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at these traits that God himself names about himself in Exodus 34:6. We've looked at God's compassion and mercy, his slow to anger and wrath. And last week, Steve helped us look at God's loyal love and as a shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. This week, we get to this last characteristic of faithfulness. Now, you know, if anyone else described themselves in these kind of glowing terms that God describes himself with, we'd probably look at them and say, you have some blind spots in your life. But that's not the case with God. These are the terms that we also typically associate with God, that we describe him with. Now, what I find fascinating is this last characteristic is translated as faithfulness, but it really could have been truth as well. God's faithfulness, or how he is true. In essence, God has faithfulness and truth, making God trustworthy, someone that we can then put our faith in. Faith and trust, these are the two main words that that the Hebrew word breaks down to in our English language. Now, if you were to Google faith and trust, Google likes to guess where you're going next, right? They like to assume they know what you're going to ask when you Google. If you were to Google faith and trust, these words associated with the Hebrew word emet, some of you are already Googling right now, right? What comes up next? What does it suggest is going to be your next word? Faith, trust, and pixie dust. Faith, trust, and pixie dust. Now, thankfully, I've seen Peter Pan. I also have a daughter who likes the Tinkerbell movies, so I think I more or less know what this refers to, but thank you, Tinkerbell and Disney, for taking a biblical word used to describe the character of God and turning it into song lyrics, tattoos, slogans for coffee mugs, and t-shirts. If you haven't seen those, I think you probably have, but faith, trust, and pixie dust. It makes me wonder, though, if this is the common association, do we really have a solid idea of what it means to have biblical faith and trust if we normally associate faith and trust and pixie dust? I think there are three main aspects to faithfulness that we talk about in the church regularly. Now, often the conversation about faith in the church centers on our own faith. Do you have faith in Jesus? Faith stands as this equivalent to the good news about Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you have faith? Now, our own faith is a very fair topic of conversation, and we'll get to it yet this morning. But based on the series that we're in about the character of God, the question or the main topic should be, how faithful is God? We're looking at God's faithfulness, not our own faith necessarily. The question then, as we look at God's faithfulness, is do we respond in faith to the fact that God is faithful? Not only do we have a one-time response to it, but do we live our lives in faithful response to God's faithfulness? Do we live a faithful life because God is faithful? Are you confused yet? That's a lot of faiths, right? I know it's hard to put a finger on which form of faith, faithful, faithfulness, or true trust, trustworthy, trustworthiness. All of those are what we're looking at this morning. So let's see if we can break it down a little bit more. Now, in the Bible, faith is built on relationship. Faith is not something we're usually called to blindly, or if we are called to it with little prior knowledge of God, our faith quickly becomes rooted in our relationship with God. What God does, who God is. I think most of us have witnessed a trust fall before, right? We've seen a trust fall activity take place. I know I've used it as a sermon illustration before, so if you were here for that Sunday, you saw a trust fall take place. And I remember joking that I was going to have Natalie was a newborn, I think, at that point. I was going to hold Natalie and do a trust fall, and Megan shot that down very quickly. But normally in a trust fall, you stand on a ledge or something above, and you have like 6 to 8 people behind you waiting to catch you. Now, many of us, I think of biblical faith in this kind of term, that a trust fall we just turn around and we fall backwards. We don't look to see if anybody's there. We don't look to see who's going to catch us. We don't really care. That's, I think most of us think of biblical faith in that way, that it's just this blind trust, blind fall, and we just hope and pray that God's going to catch us. But if I'm doing a trust fall, there's no way I'm falling without having at least looked back one time to make sure that there are people there. And honestly, depending on who the people are, may make me hesitate more than others, right? I think I would trust Steve to catch me a little bit more than I might trust some of you other younger gentlemen in this church who like to pull jokes. But this is the way it is with God. Our trust in God is based on our relationship with Him. The fact that He's revealed Himself as true and faithful in our own lives. The story of the Bible is a story of God's faithfulness. Even when humanity chooses to reject God over and over and over again. In Exodus, while Moses is having doubts about leading his people, whether or not the people will even trust that God has indeed sent Moses, God gives Moses multiple signs with his staff or his hand and to go and say, do these things so that people know, can believe, can have faith, can trust that it's me that sent you. And this is what God tells Moses in Exodus 4, 8 and 9. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe, remember, believe is actually one of these faith words, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they don't believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. God gives evidence to Moses and to the people that He is present, someone that can be trusted. He gives multiple signs. And the people of Israel respond positively. At the end of Exodus 4, we read, Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites. Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. And yet, after Israel had responded positively to God's faithfulness and relationship, God had delivered the people, had provided water and manna and quail for them in the wilderness, Israel still turns their backs on God's faithfulness when the spies return from the promised land in Numbers 13 and 14. Even though Caleb and Joshua, Aaron and Moses have claimed, they name that God is with them and will help them to claim the promised land, the Israelites reject it. They want to stone the leaders. And God's anger burns as He says, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me? How long will they refuse to have faith in me in spite of all the signs I have performed among them, God says. Even though at this point in the story, God has proven faithful and true over and over, the Israelites, the people of God, still reject God's faithfulness and don't respond in faith themselves. This pattern gets repeated over and over and over and over again in the biblical story. Generation after generation turns away from God's faithfulness. And so while the people of God are in exile then, because at some point God can't do anything more. The people have to respond. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, that this was God handing them over to what they want. But while they're in exile, the prophets, they're waiting. They're longing for the faithful one of God to come and make things right. And so Jesus centers the story. God's Son comes and models faithfulness to God in response to God's own faithfulness. Jesus comes and is faithful as God, but is also faithful as a human in response to God. As Jesus is faithful and true, He proves that He is trustworthy. He proves that in our relationship with Him, we can trust Jesus. This, as Mike already alluded to, was the main theme of Bible school this year, that Jesus is trustworthy, that we can trust Jesus. If you were there, you might want to pull a train whistle. Right? Jesus' faithfulness, though, it stems out of his death and resurrection. As he lives out covenant faithfulness to God, he invites us to trust him ourselves. As the kids learned this week, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, our relationship is one that we can trust Jesus to do hard things. Just like Ananias learned that when he went to visit Saul, enemy number one of the early church, he could trust Jesus, that Jesus was with him to do this hard thing and extend invitation and grace to Saul. So Ananias trusted Jesus. Similarly, Paul's relationship with Jesus was strong and good enough that even in the face of a major storm and shipwreck, Paul's the one offering hope and encouragement to the crew because he knew Jesus was trustworthy. Peter and John, two of Jesus' closest disciples, two of the closest eyewitnesses to his death and resurrection, they have a strong enough relationship with God that even in the face of persecution, they can boldly proclaim Jesus' good news. And as the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection spread and the Holy Spirit comes to help the believers have an even closer relationship with Jesus, the early church learns that they're able to stay connected to each other, sharing resources, serving one another, caring and loving each other because they trusted Jesus. Jesus, as the faithful one of God, proves that he is faithful and true and one who's worthy of trust. God proves that through Jesus, that we can trust him. We've seen it on display. We read about it in the New Testament. And most of us, I think, have experienced it in our own lives. It's not some blind trust where we just go over to the trust fall and fall over, hoping and praying that God is there. It's a faith rooted in who God is and what God has done. But as the kids learned this week in these stories of the early church from people who trusted Jesus all the time, our response to God in faithfulness is not just a one-time thing, but a way of life. Our response to God's faithfulness doesn't equate to just mental belief or assent to church doctrine, but it's lived out daily, which is what we see in the parable that Jesus tells in today's scripture. Jesus tells this parable about what the kingdom of heaven is like. Each person is given bags of gold or talents according to their ability. They're entrusted with the master's wealth while he goes on a journey. And we quickly learn in the parable, we quickly learn that there are servants who did something with what was given to them and one who didn't do anything with it. When the master returns and settles accounts with the servants, both of the servants who did something with what God had given them, they receive this affirmation, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in my happiness." But the third servant in the story, the one who went off, dug a hole, and stuck the money in the ground, doesn't receive any affirmation. Instead, his conversation goes like this, "Master, I knew that you're a hard man harvesting and gathering where you didn't plant. I was afraid and I hid your money. So here's what belongs to you." To which the master replies, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew, did you, that I harvest and gather where I didn't plant? Well, then you should have at least taken the money and put it in the bank to get some interest." After giving the servant who did well the poor servant's talents or gold, the master tells him to throw the wicked and lazy servant out. "You knew, and yet you did nothing," seems to be the charge leveled against the third servant. Mental belief. You knew it. Ascribing to correct doctrine isn't enough. As James says, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Or as Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Thankfully, I didn't hear any of your houses falling with a great crash on Wednesday. I've heard plenty of you had plenty of rain in your basement. But becoming faithful like how God is faithful, requires a faithful life on our part. A lived out faith each day, where we respond in each moment to God's faithfulness. For God is faithful and true. We can trust Him. Now, there are a number of questions that I am left pondering as we think about faith, trust, and anything but pixie dust. And they all center around this question of, are we faithful? Our faithfulness and trust in God is rooted in our relationship with Him. So a question I have is, how easy is it for you to trust? How easy is it for you to trust God and others? Do faith and trust come easily to you? Let's be honest. Some of us find trusting others easier to do than some other people. Some of us are a little more cynical than others. And I think that's fair. After all, faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. And Paul describes faith as a gift from God that some of us receive a greater portion of than others. Yet faith and trust are built on relationship. Now, I'm not asking in this question, is it easy for you to trust some random Joe Schmo on the street? But is trusting others something you struggle with? People that you know and love and care about? Is trusting God something you struggle with? If it is, why is that? Does it have something to do with something that happened in childhood? A business venture gone wrong? A friend who betrayed you? Are you taking experiences from your life and projecting them on your relationship with God, struggling to have faith and trust? Another question I'm pondering is, are you a person that others would consider to be faithful and trustworthy in their life and in your life with God? Since we're looking at the character of God as God's children, it should be the character we're striving for, that we are also faithful people. Do people interact with you and come away thinking, wow, that person is trustworthy and true. You live a life faithfully so I can depend on you. I have faith that you'll come through for me if I need you. How does your faithful living impact your witness to the gospel? Your interaction in the community? Are you somebody that people see as authentic, full of integrity and truth? But I'm also pondering, what does your relationship with God look like? Since faith is built on relationship, if it takes a lot of time and dedication and energy and effort to build a faithful relationship with a spouse or a friend, it's probably going to take a lot of time and energy and effort and dedication to build a good, faithful relationship with God. If you struggle to trust God, is part of that struggle rooted in a lack of relationship with God? Just a quick note. Wrestling with faith and doubt, having questions about God and for God, are perfectly normal. We see in the Bible people wrestling with God's goodness or trusting that God is faithful. They wrestle with having faith and believing. Read through any of the Psalms of Lament and you'll find people wrestling with God's goodness. You'll find people wondering, how long, when are you going to do something? God, can I trust you? That's normal. There are Psalms and stories all over the Bible of that. And I think most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, find ourselves in the place of the distraught and questioning Father in Mark 9 when he says, I do believe, Jesus, but help my unbelief. Help me overcome my unbelief. Wrestling with faith and trust is normal. But can we have a relationship with God where we turn to God to dive deeper into that relationship with Him with our questions about faith and trust? May we know May we know that God is a God of faithfulness, and may that lead us to respond to God's faithfulness with our own faith in Him. But may we more than just know, right? Because it's not just about head knowledge. May we live a life of faithfulness in response and be a person of faith that flows out of our relationship with God, knowing and trusting that God is indeed faithful. And when it comes to the end of our earthly life, I pray that we may each hear Jesus proclaim, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in my happiness." Amen.